thank you in Jesus' name for those that are giving today for the mission work that you've called us to in Mexico. And Lord, thank you for each and every father that is here right now. And Lord, those that are tuning in live, we welcome them as well. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we lift up Jacob to us, to you, Lord, and Kaylee and Tyler, that Lord, thank you for sending them, equipping them, using them mightily, and bringing them home safely and keeping them safe every day that they're there and giving their parents perfect peace in their absence. And Lord, we also lift up Gordon, just thank you for his surgery. Lord, just be with him and bring healing now to his body. Lord, bless your word. Bless this day in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. God is so good. This morning, we're going to talk about dads, if you don't mind. I've never brought a Father's Day message. Well, just like with Mother's Day, you know, this is my first Mother's Day message because I just have never done so in my ministry time. Not that I don't love mothers. I just don't do that. So since I taught on a Mother's Day sermon, I thought, well, I must, you know, at least be fair with the men, right? And so we're going to have a Father's Day sermon, but actually it's for everyone this morning as well. But there are some things I'd like to share from the Word of God about being a dad. And that is a very hard thing today, amen? It is very difficult. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to two places. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll end up at verse 7 in just a minute. And then also look and go to your Bibles in Genesis chapter 6 and so forth. So today, Father's Day 2016, you know, I read someplace that it says about a dad. It says, a dad is a son's first hero and a daughter's first love. I think that's an adequate description of a father. But may I tell you today, in the 21st century, especially now that I am older in my life, I see so much, and I look back, and I have as older people as myself, we look back and see what it used to be like. Not that that was the glory days or anything like that of raising children, but it was a lot easier 30, 40 years ago to raise a child than it is today. We live in a totally different time. We live in a totally different world. And the things that are occurring that a family faces, especially a father, totally different than any other generation in history, except maybe the one I'm going to talk about this morning. With all that being said, you know, I look at the many challenges that the 21st century Christian father faces and just raising the family in a nation that we love, a nation that we pray for, but also a nation that we have been watching over the last, well, decade, or like we could really say the last 8 years, that has been plunged off the cliff and literally fallen into darkness. I mean, the parents today, the things that they face, I mean, we have an educational system that is in trouble. We have the marriage now has been completely redefined in our nation and now around the world. And now we're faced with something that was plotted all the way back in 1995 at the Women's United Nations Conference in Beijing, China, where their goal was to have a five different gender identities come not only to the world, but to America. And here we are, we're in the midst of a gender identity diversity thing that is going on that is literally, I don't know how to equate it in my mind, especially in my heart. But more so than that about raising a family, dads, I look at the world today, especially our own nation, and I see the ever-increasing and ongoing and ongrowing violence that is occurring. Not just the mass shootings that happens so often in our schools, the tragedy of that, but the mass shootings that are occurring everywhere. I mean, it wasn't just what December that there in San Bernardino that when the radical Islamist people killed, 14, wounded about 22 people there, and so forth. And then just 7 days ago, there at that club in Orlando, Florida, the mass shooting, the deadliest in U.S. history, the killing of 50 people, I believe it was, and 49 or 50 of them injured as well. And again, it was a person who has pledged his allegiance to ISIS. I think about the things that are occurring and how this is not a time to be relaxed, if you will, but it's a time to be very observant. The Bible says a wise man discerneth the times and hides himself from it. Amen? In other words, not runs away and puts his head in the sand, but he knows what to do about that situation, especially when it comes to the family. Now, the Bible gives us many examples of earthly fathers. And the one that I want to look at and focus on this morning is the son of Lamech, and his name was Noah. We all know the story of Noah and the ark, Noah and the flood, and so forth. But maybe there's some things that you don't really know about Noah that I'd like to kind of show us this morning, because he is, I believe, one of the greatest examples in the Bible of a father raising children, having a family, in the most difficult times ever on earth, except the times of Noah are really the times that we're going through right now. And when we see the comparison and how it's really kind of mind-boggling and so forth. So I hope, dads, that we kind of learn from this morning, because Noah, just as we do, he lived in a world that was in love with sin, a world that was in love with violence, that was in love with lawlessness. And he was also living in the last days before the judgment of God was going to be poured out upon a planet that had turned itself into horrible, horrible sin. Now, with all that being said, I hope you're Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, and let's begin this morning. It says, by faith, Noah the father, let's look at it that way, being divinely warned, that means he was warned by God, of things not yet seen. God spoke to him. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says that in Romans 10, 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And Noah was divinely warned by our Father in heaven, and look what he did. He was moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house, his children, his children's wives, his wife, for his own household. This is what that father did, by which he condemned the world, became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now listen, here is a dad that looked at the world he was living in. God gave him a word and said, this is what's getting ready to happen, Noah. He was the only person on earth that prepared a way of escape for his family. I'll tell you, we men that are dads today, raising a family, you're faced with so much opposition from so many different areas in your life, and how you need to stand tall in God today. Amen? That's what we all need to do. And so by faith, Noah is going to lead his family, by God's grace, of course, into a brand new world. And he's the only father on earth, again, that wants to save his family God's way. Now, I hope you're in Genesis. Look at Genesis 6:5. Let's look at the condition, the things that were going on, and how they compare to our society today. He said, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And watch this now. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil. But they were evil continually. Now listen, that means every person on earth, this is how sick it was in the days of Noah. Every person, every thought that they were thinking, it wasn't filled with goodness. It wasn't filled with love. It was only filled continually with thoughts to do evil. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now, before we go forward here, that word grieved is very important. You know, because you hear people all that, well, God destroyed everybody, everything that was living. He couldn't have loved man at all. Listen, the word grieved is a love word. He was grieved in his heart over his creation. Amen? And he was just grieved. He was broken in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping things, birds of the air, dogs, cats. No, I'm just joking there. I just want to see if you're listening. Are you listening this morning? All right. And he said, for I'm sorry I've made them. But Noah found unlimited mercy, divine favor. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And look at the reason why. It says Noah was a just man. Noah was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, why did this one father, I mean, it just blows me away, out of all the fathers on earth at that time, why was it that only one father found grace in the eyes of God? I mean, was it that bad? Was it that corrupt? Yes, it was. But he found that grace and that mercy because this father did something. You see, before the flood ever occurred, before he even knew it was going to happen, he had a walk. He had a walk that included God. Amen? That's why it's so important today that every father be walking with the Lord. In other words, he's a Matthew 16:24 or Luke 29:3 man. You know, like Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's the kind of man Noah was. And he was rewarded for his faith before anything ever happened. And there he is. If you want to know what it really meant to be perfect in his generations that I just read to you, you can go to the bookstore after the service and pick up a CD from Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and following, and you'll find out that that word perfect didn't have anything to do with his walk. It had to do with something else, a very important message, by the way, and the price has been reduced to $25 a CD. So you can certainly pick that up. Look at verse 10 now. And Noah begat three boys, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was literally perverted. It was terrible. And it perverted before God. And the earth was filled, overflowing. It was saturated with violence, with lawlessness. And so God looked upon the earth, and it was indeed corrupt. And look at the reason. It was corrupt because all flesh, every man, every woman, every person had perverted or corrupted their way on the earth. And God spoke to a father named Noah. And he said, the end of all flesh, every person on earth has come up before me. For the earth is filled with violence. And look at the reason. It says, through them. And he says, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And he says, Noah, make yourself. I'm giving you a plan to save your family. I'm giving you a plan to escape what's coming. He gave that plan to a father. And fathers, God has a plan for whatever you're facing in this life. And he says, I want you to make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. In other words, waterproof it. Now, I'm not going to go through how God gave him all the plans and so forth. We know about all that, okay? But drop down to verse 22. And thus Noah did, according to what? All that God commanded him, so he did. You know, this is what you call faith. Did you know that this father... You know, sometimes dads, listen, you know, when we're raising our children and we don't know what to do, we can't find it in the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in a minute I'm going to read Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Do you know what? God, that's about all God gives you for raising a child. You understand? Like four verses, you're going, Lord, is there a little bit more you could help me with here? I mean, here I am. I'm 21, 22, 23, whatever. And now this baby's been placed in my arms and here's my wife and here he is and she is and... Oh, what do I do now? You ever been there? Yeah. It's you know, it's not like the moment your child was born, did you go, got it planned, son, don't worry. Oh, buddy, I got everything right in a row for you. No, it's a learning curve for you as well. It certainly was for me. And so here, what does the Lord do? He speaks to a father, and this father was obedient. But listen, never once did Noah, the father, question God, the father, over what he gave them. He believed, Noah believed, and acted upon one single command from God for over 100 years. Brother, I tell you, that's faith, isn't it? I mean, he was consistent and so forth. And, you know, I've preached Genesis many times through this church. And, you know, like I've always said, when I look at faith in the Bible, I'm always amazed at Noah. I love the story of Noah. I mean, here's that one single command. He gets his boys And the greatest act of faith I personally believe found anywhere in the Bible was the day that this one man, the pre-flood people, okay, he goes out and whatever he used to remove or to cut down the first gopher wood tree and start building an ark is one of the greatest acts of faith in the Bible. He obeyed God with one single command. That was all the information that God had given him and so forth. You know, it says there again in verse 7, it says, and by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things seen. Is that what it says? No. It says being divinely warned of things what? Say it with me. Or you have, do you have your Bibles open? Do you want me to teach what God really gave me this morning? Eternal damnation? A pastor loves to hear the pages of the Bible turn. He does. That means you're into the Word of God. It says, no, it says he was, divinely warned of things that he had never seen before in his life, of things not seen. God said, I'm going to show you things you've never seen before, things that have never happened on this earth. Things, listen, a father who would even dare to believe God. That's the kind of man Noah was. Listen, you know, I mean, I'm a visual person, aren't you? Had he ever seen an ark? No. Had he ever felt a raindrop? No. Had he ever seen a flood? No. He wasn't a ship builder. He wasn't that at all. He's out there. I mean, can you imagine what people were saying? What is this weirdo doing? You know? I mean, come on. But what he did, he did something. By the eye of faith, he looked into the invisible. That's what faith does. Faith is the hope of things not seen, right? But it's the substance of things not seen. It's the evident or the proof of things. That's what faith is. Lord, I see it. I see it by the eye of faith. He looked into the future and he goes, I have a way to escape with my family. That's what a father, you know, fathers are like that. You know, you say, okay, do I have everything laid up? Do I know, I want to make sure my family is going to be taken care of. That's the way we are. Isn't that true? I mean, I personally, if something happens to me, I want my family taken care of forever because I know the church is not going to take care of them. Doesn't that make you feel bad? Listen, fathers are that way. He saw it and he said, okay, Lord, I believe it. What a great dad. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, it says, God, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Noah was a father that had faith in God's word, God's spoken word, being divinely warned. We have 66 books of the Bible. Boy, I'll tell you, we need to hold that book in our family. In whatever we do in our life, it's a light. It'll get us to where we need to go. It'll help us raise our children, love our wives, be good stewards. Whatever we need to be a good father is there. It says, by faith, Noah, he was moved with godly fear. And look what he did. Prepared an ark. And this is the reason. For the saving of his household. For the saving of his family. Faithful fathers prepare. They say, you know what? I got to get everything in order and so forth. He looked down the road and he prepared. We need to do the same. You know, our homes should be a safe place for us as a family. And don't you love to get home, shut the door and the world and leave the world outside? You know what I'm saying? It's a wonderful thing. But think about it now. Noah, he stood. No one in the world was with him. He stood all by himself. He only had his family that stood with him. And, of course, he had the Lord God. But it says there that by faith he prepared an ark, a way of escape. He lived in a time that was so wicked that there was no hope for them anymore. God says, I'm going to have to destroy them. Can you imagine being the only believer on earth? I can't even fathom that. I mean, every day you wake up and there's only you and your family. That's the only people on earth that believe. That's the only people on earth that hadn't corrupted their way. You're the only people on earth, your household, that do not think evil continually. You're the only people that have been warned by God. He was the only person, and God went to a father and so forth and gave that information to him of things not seen. Listen, we are living right now in the days of Noah. Are we living in the end times? Absolutely. There's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for the church to be removed or raptured or caught away to be with the Lord in the air. Not one. It could happen any moment. The things that are occurring in the world are staggering right now. It's not going to get better, loved one. I'm not trying to be negative, but it's not going to get better. You know, we're praying for revival. Amen? That's what we need, especially in our own nation. But see, has God warned Noah, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died for us, has warned us as well. Listen to what he said, Jesus said in Matthew 24:37. He says this now, but as the days of Noah were, just like it was then, he says, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man, for as in the days before the flood. This is what they were doing, the pre-flood people. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day, the very moment that Noah entered the ark. Jesus said, listen, if you want to know what's going to happen in this last generation, in the last time, he says, look at the past to know the future. He's telling us, we're living in the days of Noah, just this very moment. Noah's time was so corrupt and violent. Do you think that we're living in a time that's not corrupt or violent? No, it's escalating and escalating and escalating. Listen, when I was a kid, you know, how many people remember the key that opened, called the skeleton key? Three of you. When I was a little boy, the skeleton key was how we would get into our home. But the thing is, a skeleton key would work in every house on my street. Because, you know, when we lived in the country there on the farm, listen, we didn't even know where the key to lock the door was. We never locked our doors. Never. The only time that my grandmother, when I grew up on the farm with her, locked the doors, it was a screen door and it was to keep me out of the house. You know, that was the only reason. Yes, that's a true story. And it was totally different. We didn't worry about things like that. I remember there in Keller, you know, when this was all farmland. From right here all the way to Denton was farmland. It was beautiful back then. And two lanes, no red lights. There was just one blinking light, and it was in Keller, and it was caution light. And now, where was I going with this? Well, it doesn't really matter. That's what happens when you get Kevin's age, you know what I'm saying? Can't remember a thing. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Thank you for praying for me. Anyway, you know the railroad tracks out here? Okay, well, we, you know, we're farmers then. And so we would be plowing the fields. I did, my grandparents did, you know, it was wonderful. And all kinds of hogs and pigs and chickens and horses and cows, and it was great. And the railroad came right by the front of the farm, and all back then we called them hobos, okay, the people that rode, and they would all get off the train, and they would all come down to Grandma's house, and she would feed each and every one of them. It was a different time then. Not that I'm trying to go back and say it was better, I'm just saying it was different. But I was never afraid to lock a door. What is am I thinking today? Jesus said, listen, we're living in the last days. We're living in a very violent time, and that's where we are right now. We're living on a planet where global moral perversion is completely out of control. We're living in a terrible time. And you know, God says, boy, you better be building an ark, a place of safety for your family. You know, I say this tenderly, dads, listen to me. You can't have a social media relationship with your child. You can't have a social media relationship with your children and text them all the time, you know, or email them, or, you know, FaceTime. No, you need real FaceTime. You know, in other words, face to face, you know. Your texting has no emotion. I don't know what it's saying. I don't know if it's nice or what are all those abbreviated words. I don't know what that means. Little, whatever those, Yes, that too. No, you, I want you to sit down in the chair. I want you to look into my eyes. I want to look into your eyes. I want to touch your hand. I want, if you're little, I want you to sit in my lap. I want to talk to you. I don't need social media to talk to children or teenagers or adult children. I want to talk to you face to face. That's what communication is, loved one. You know, Jesus said we're living in the last days. Noah and their generation, listen, they were all making plans. They were, hey, we've got to go eat. We've got to get married, da, da, da. Just as usual, business as usual. Jesus goes on, and you know what he says? He said, you know what? They did not know. They didn't know what was happening because business was usual, just living the life, you know, living the dream. And he said, no, they didn't know. They were caught off guard. They were unprepared. They did not know, Jesus said, until the flood came. And when the flood came, when destruction came, did it come suddenly? It did, didn't it? It was instantly. He said, Jesus said, they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. Took them all away into a godless eternity. Took them all away, Jesus said. So also will it be at this coming of the Son of Man. Listen, that's where we're headed. That's what's going on. If there's ever been a time for mom, for dad, all of us, to protect our kiddos, loved one, it is today. They were carried away. Think of that. Carried away into destruction. They were untouched as this generation is, and some in the church. They were untouched by God's truth. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It says in 2 Peter 2:5, a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, over and over warning the people. Listen, God's going to bring judgment. He's going to flood the earth. Well, what's a flood, Noah? Hello? What is an ark anyway? Well, I'm going to build an ark, and God said I'm going to bring all the animals, male, female. And you're going to what, Noah? You're going to take animals? You can put them in that box that you're building? God told me to do that. He's trying to save us. But no one listened, and no one is listening today. The world is going to be caught off guard. It's going to happen instantly. In a twinkling of an eye. And the world is going to be plunged into what we call the Great Tribulation Period. 7 years. Oh God, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be horrible. And Jesus himself said, unless the time be shortened, no one would even be saved. That's what's coming. Aren't you glad you're in the true ark, Christ Jesus, this morning? Amen. Oh, and Jesus said, no, you've got to be ready. That's why he said in Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. If you go over to Luke's gospel, remember what the Lord said there? As I'm reading, let me read it to you. In Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. Now he moves into another person from Noah, pre-flood, to after the flood, Lot. He says, well, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, bought, sold, planted, and built. Busy, busy people. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire, it rained brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Jesus says, so will it be. It is certain. You can count on it. God doesn't lie. So it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Of course, that revealing, I believe, is mentioned, is probably the second coming, the personal bodily return of our Lord, visible. Every eye will see him, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen, fathers, Jesus, our Lord, just told us that as it was in the days of Lot, well, that's that kind of place we're living in right now. I don't have to tell you what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, do I? It's the same thing as happening here today. Is that right? Okay, well, we don't need to even go there. But sudden destruction came. You know, Henry Morris, a great expositor of the, wrote an incredible book on Genesis, and talked about the days of Noah, the comparison of what happened then and now. Let me just give you a few of them. He said this. He said, if the flood and meaning end today as well. It says there was a preoccupation with physical and sensual appetites. He said there was also in the days of Noah and in the days that we have today, there was a tremendous advancement in technology. Man, listen, we are overboard in technology right now, aren't we? Well, and you said, well, Bill, what kind of technology that did Noah have? I mean, he didn't, you know, have Xbox and all that, did he? No. Of course not. But if you do your homework and go read Genesis chapter 4, and you'll start seeing all the incredible, who was the father of music, the father of ironworks, all the incredible, the technology, the things that were happening on the earth then, and the same way that it is now. It says also, he said there was a devotion to pleasure and comfort. There's no doubt about that here. He says there was no concern for God, no concern for even a belief in God or conduct. Man. That sounds like today's headlines, doesn't it? There was a complete disregard then for the marriage covenant, as there is today. Every thought was evil then. There was also a population explosion happened pre-flood there in the days of Noah, and of course, and widespread violence. Well, we're 7 billion people on this planet. There's violence on every part of the earth. There is how many? You go and Google how many armed conflicts that are on the planet right now. It'll blow you away. And then just type in mass shootings in America and start looking at the list. It'll blow you away. See, the violence, the wickedness of men doesn't decrease. It increases over and over every generation. Because, listen to me, you know why? Because whenever wickedness receives an open door in this generation, the next generation, unless they stop it, the door gets wider and wider and wider. And that's what's happening. Men are being deceived and being deceived. Evil men, imposters, in the world that we live in. It says in Genesis 6:13, and God said to Noah, Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is flooded. It's filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Noah was the last of the generation before God's wrath was poured out upon a planet that was corrupt. Do you know that he was also the last voice? And we may be the last voice to this generation before God pours out the wrath of his wrath upon an unbelieving world. Are you following me? I don't know, but I know that's coming. I do know this. If there's anything that we need to learn today, we need to learn what Noah did, dads. And this, every Christian, applies to every Christian. But I looked at his life, said, okay, Noah, what did he do? What kind of observations can I look at for any father, for myself? The first one that I noticed, if you want to write those things down or just get the CD, remember, however you want to do it, is this. Noah lived in a time when he was the only believer. I can't imagine that. We've never experienced that, have we? No. You know what, though? Even though he did not allow the world that he lived in to determine his morality. Do you understand? Dads, listen. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Who cares what the world says? Who cares what they say about you? What do you think they did to Noah? Oh, my gosh. You know that they were brutal. I mean, Noah, and he was the only believer on the entire planet. He didn't lose his individuality to a crowd. He didn't join them. His kids, think about what his sons did. You know, he's like, Dad, I mean, you know, it's just us. I can't talk to anybody on this planet. That's right. Stay away from everybody. They're corrupt. They're all corrupt. Yeah, but Dad, you mean everyone is corrupt. Surely there's somebody 100 miles down the road that's not corrupt. No, they're all corrupt. God says they're all corrupt. They're all going to die unless they get into the ark, get right with God. Listen, I start looking at that and I say, oh, I don't want the world to tell me what to do. I don't want the voices that are shouting to what a man ought to be or what a man ought to do. I want God to tell me what a man ought to do. I want God to tell me what a father should do and what a father should be. I don't need the wisdom of this world because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Amen? And I say, Lord, I just want your wisdom. And something else that Noah did, and I love him for this. I mean, here is a dad. And you know, I looked at him and I said, dear Lord, he pursued a life work. 120 years. He pursued a life work without one shred of proof. Do you understand me? He had the Word of God. That's all he had. He has God's Word. He built an ark for his family, a place of safety, a place to rescue them, and he built it on dry land. A father believed one voice over millions of voices on a planet. He believed the voice of Almighty God. He trusted that one voice because he walked with God. And he did something that no person, this dad, did something that no other person on earth had ever done. He built an ark. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. To work on something for that long, would you say that you have to be passionate? Come on. I mean, 100 years would be like, I mean, if I was Noah's son, I'd go, oh, come on, Dad, how much bigger does this piece of junk have to be? And, oh, come on, I can't do this anymore. It's been 100 years. Look at me. Listen, he was a man of passion. You know why I know he's a man of passion? Because he was married to the same woman for at least 500 years, okay? I mean, listen, that's what I call a man. He's a passionate man. Over 500 years probably. And I'm going, whoo, man, think of that. And it's so easy today for a father to lose his passion. They're tired. They work over and over. The wife is usually working too. They're both trying to make ends meet. They're both trying to raise their children. Have you ever noticed that your children are not all the same personality? So, you know, some of you, the first one was, oh, that perfect. It's so easy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Perfect. Sleeps all through the night. Just happy. Just you look at them, they smile. And the next one, you think, dear God, is this an alien or something? You know what I mean? Yeah, that and so forth. And here, you know, I look at this and I say, man, listen, it's so easy for dads today. And they just go, I'm tired. I just want to come home. I've been working all day long. I don't like my boss. He doesn't like me. I deserve a raise. I deserve a better position. Everybody in what I work with are unbelievers. I hear cursing all day long. You know, and I'm coming home and I just want to go in my other room, turn on the TV, have a glass of iced tea, and I don't want to talk to the kids. I don't talk to anybody. I understand all that. I just want to kind of chill before I have to go deal with it all. But really, in truth, we're listening to the voice of the world then. We're listening to the voice of the enemy. You know, the thing is that there's nothing greater than family. And it's terrible when your family's messed up or there's problems. Or whenever your children are hurting, boy, are you hurt? Oh, listen, there's nothing that can hurt a mother or a father more than children, your children. And you know, you want all of them to do so well and so forth. But you know, what I know is this, as a dad, that God is with me, he's for me, he's always going to be near, and he's always going to help me. He's always ready to give us what we need, the word, and he's also always willing to give us the strength that we need to get through whatever time we're going through, amen? There are different seasons when raising your children and so forth. And you know, well, there's a lot of things I could say, but you know what? We've all failed as fathers, haven't we? There's not any such thing as a perfect father except the one in heaven, you know, and God knows. But also, there's no such thing as perfect children. If they are, they're not in America, okay? But we just need to trust the Lord. But Noah was a father, but he just didn't love God. He loved his family. So what did he do? He invested in his family by how? Well, by building an ark, by saying, I'm going to get you out of this place. You know, don't you think that maybe after all that time, that kids, you know how kids are, that the kids came up to Noah and said, Dad, listen, we've been working on this thing now for over 100 years. And why is it that just us, our family, all the other families on this planet, I mean, no one is believing any of this, just us. Do you think that maybe we have a problem? Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, that's when your kids come home, well, they're doing it. Their mom and dad let them do it. You know what? You've been there, right? Yeah. And you say, no, they're destroyed. They're corrupt. Get away. No. No. Noah knew what he was doing. And that tells me something, that Noah, for that long, to work with the three sons, side by side for 100 years, it tells me that Noah had to be a good communicator. He had to have been. He had to be able to talk with his sons, and his sons had to talk with him. It means that he had to listen to them. Like I just said, surely anybody would have questioned Noah, don't you think? Yes, because all the world was against him. Everybody, you know, and so forth. And so he had to be able, or he was a good communicator. Listen to your children. Listen to them. And don't prejudge them when they tell you things that sound goofy. Okay? No, really. And sometimes parents come to me and they go, you know, my kid is, he's hyper and he does this and he does that. But he's, you know, and I say, how do you know that's not a gift? How do you know that's not going to be a gift in his life? Why? He likes doing that, or she likes. I said, well, why not let them develop that? Develop it. Don't ever tell. Listen, I'm not beating you up or anything, but never discourage your kids. Let them, if they say, I'm going to be a baseball player. And all they do is strike out, you know. You just go, yeah, man, you're knocking them out of the park. Oh, God, help this boy, you know. But don't discourage them. Does that make sense? Encourage them to do better. And let them dream. That was one thing I can say about growing up in my life, since I didn't really have any parents except my grandparents, okay? Man, listen, I was an adventurer. I was wild, like a wild, feral child. And I know I was. I mean, I had no boundaries. I had no rules. I was horrible, but I loved my life, you know. And I've told you how, when I was young, because the electricity was always off at the house. We never had the water. And I had my little brother who's now with the Lord. And the only thing I knew, my dad, the only thing he ever said, take care of him. Never said, I love you. How are you doing? Take care of him. Feed him. Oh, yes, Dad. All right. You know what I used to do? I used to go to the laundromats through Fort Worth on East Lancaster at night. This was in the 50s. And you know what I would do back then? Remember the agitators in your washing machine? You remember how there was you could unscrew them? Yes. I'd go through and guess what? What do you find under the agitator? Money. I mean, you hit three places a week as a kid. You're doing great, And then, what I would do? I would, I wish anything my dad had been a dad. But you know what I would do? I went to this, when I needed to wash my clothes, because I only had one set. Not trying to make you feel sorry for me, but, that's the truth. One set, underwear, socks, shirt, shoes. And my shoes had broken out at the back because they were too small for me. And so I would go into the laundromat late at night when no one was there. I'd lock the door, but I'd put all my clothes in the washer, go in the bathroom, lock the door because I had a hook lock. I'd wait, and I'd run out naked. You see why I messed up, don't you? And then I'd put them in the dryer, run back and lock myself in, and then you know how it feels to put clothes right out of the dryer on? Oh, man. And plus, you're clean, because I could clean up right there in that little bathroom, see? Okay, never mind. But had I had a father, I wouldn't have had to have lived like that. You know how important you guys are? How much you're needed? God created fatherhood. And boy, it's so vital. It's so important. Don't wait, dads. Listen. Don't pass off training, raising your children. Don't pass it off to the kids' church. And don't just pass it off to mom, your wife. Listen, God's commanded you. Amen? What does it tell us in Ephesians 6:4? Let me say this to you. It says, and you fathers, didn't say fathers and mothers. It says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to anger or to wrath. God doesn't want you to make them constantly mad, beating on them, my way, the highway. No, he says, but bring them up. Bring your little girl, bring your little boy up in the training. That word means discipline. The training and the admonition. Admonition means instruction. It means putting God's word into their mind. It says training and discipline of the Lord. And do it soon as you get them. Soon as they're born, start working with them. We're here only to assist, amen? That's what the kids' church is about, or nursery. Don't tell us that, you know, we need to do more. Your kids are here an hour, twice a week. Hello, what kind of parents would we be, you know? No, it's on you. Don't put it on us. We're just here to help and love them and so forth. But, you know, like you've heard me say many times, if you have a child from birth to 18, okay, from the time they're born to the 18 years of age, that's only 6,570 days. That's it. I mean, man, listen, if you don't get them in the early years, by the time they get to be 16, they're going to think they can tell you what to do. Oh, really, 13 today, I guess, or maybe 10. I don't really know. I don't want to know either. I passed all that, thank God. If your children are 12 years of age, okay, it means you only have 2,190 days until they turn 18. You don't want the world to train them. You don't want the devil to train them. You don't want their best friends to train them. You want to be the trainer, amen? You know, it's a wonderful thing to talk with your children, to get to know them, to really ask them what they think. Tell me what you really think about this. Explore their hearts. Explore their minds. Take time to do that. I'd give anything if I'd had a father that I even knew who he was. Or to know what he thinks. I told you recently, I know I need to close. I told you recently that, my cousin, which would have been my father's sister's, no, my father's, yeah, sister's daughter, my cousin, came here to the church. And because years ago, I went to her mother, Aunt Helen, and I said, Helen, I don't have any pictures of my dad. I don't know anything about him, or my grandparents even. I said, I was with my grandfather when he died, but I don't. Anyway, can I have some pictures? I'll just make copies. She wouldn't give them to me. I said, no, I did not. I see if you're listening. Uh-huh. I said, bless you. That's what I said. No. I said, okay. So anyway, she died, she went home someplace. No, I'm teasing. She's a wonderful woman. And so to make a long story short, her daughter, my cousin, Bobby, came to the church one day and dropped off all this stuff to Melinda. And it was all these pictures of my grandparents and my dad. Oh, it was wonderful. And then she came a second time and brought me all the letters that my father wrote his mom and dad when he was in the war, in World War II, in the Pacific. And oh, what an insight I gathered from who he really was. Wonderful. See, you're so important. Even when you get to my age, you still want a father. You still want to know, if you don't know him, you still want to know, what was he really like? Why did he not maybe love me? Why didn't he ever tell me? All those things. Boy, I look at that. Oh, God, you're so good. Listen, parents, dad, teach your children while you have time. Give it all you have. Make time for them. And you know what? They just need a little bit of time. They don't need 24/7. You know what I mean? No. Listen, Noah was a father who warned his generation just like we do. And that's what we must do and so forth. It says in Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, Noah, you and all your household. That's it, just your household. You built it. You obeyed me. Now get in. That's what God is saying. For I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. God watches dads. He watches what you do. He looks over you. And he says, he's obeying me. He's doing what he says. I'm going to help this person. God shut him into the ark. That's what he did. the only place of safety upon this earth. It says in Genesis 7:16, so those entered the ark, the male, female, all flesh, they went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. How wonderful. And now it's over. The fountains of the deep all broke up. The judgment of God was being poured out upon this planet. It says that in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. The fountains of the deep all broke up. In 40, the rains, all of that happened. And then the people that were on the outside that had been having a party all this hundred and some odd years, you know, watching Noah, calling him a weirdo and all of that. What did he do? They didn't make it. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. And you know that his family in that ark heard the cries of all those people, heard them screaming. You know that there were people there, that wives that looked to their husbands and children that looked to their dads and said, Dad, you told me Noah was an idiot. He was crazy. You told me he was an old man. You told me this is all foolishness. But it was too late. You see, God's word is true, loved one. God's word is true. I know it's time to go, but I want to tell you one more thing. Is that okay? Just one more point, and then I promise I'll let you go in about an hour. Now, listen, let me read this to you. This is so important. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear. Number two, he prepared the ark. The reason? Saving of his household. By which, here it is, by which Noah, the father, condemned. He condemned the entire world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Listen to me. One believing father on this planet named Noah condemned every living person on this planet. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord. Noah was the only person, Noah the dad, he was the only person that was right on all of the earth. The only thing that a person could see, if you could look down upon planet earth, what would you see? You would see an ark floating, amen? Because it was all covered with water. You see, here's the deal. Dads, listen, if God said it and you believe it, your faith is greater than any unbeliever, any government, any educational system in this entire world. You, when you believe God, you put everyone else to shame, and you'll find that out in the end. Amen? That's what it's all about. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, it says, and whatever or whoever is born of God. This is the only qualification. If you are born again, whoever is born of God overcometh the what? The world. If you are in Christ, you have already overcome this world system. And he says, John says, he says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. He says, our faith. Do you know what? You rule in this life when you obey God's word. That's where the power is found, is in obedience. Listen to me. An overcomer, one who is in Christ, a Christian, whether you believe it or not, and whether you even feel it or not, a Christian always fights from the point of victory because we're in the victor, amen? The devil, the world, and this fallen society that we live in always fights from the point of defeat because they're not in Christ. And who is he, the Bible says, who overcomes the world? But it is he who believes that Jesus is a good person. Oh, he was a great teacher. It is he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. You see, if you're going to be a victor, Dad, walk in that victory, remember that faith always has an object. And the object of the believer's faith is always Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Amen? Now listen, in closing, let me just say something. Noah the father saved his family from the coming judgment. That's what we do as fathers. We protect our family. We keep them in Christ. We make the Bible the center of our home. We make the Holy Spirit the one, the divine helper of the church who leads us and guides us in all of our decisions. Noah, the first thing he did in the new world, I love it, a father. You know what he did? Genesis chapter 8, the first thing Noah did, he built an altar to the Lord. He sacrificed a sweet-smelling aroma unto God. That's what the father did. He continued walking with God. And he became the father of a new era, a whole new time. He saw the old world, and then he saw the new world. And then he saw something else. He saw God make a covenant with him. And God says, here's the sign of my covenant, Noah. I will set my rainbow in the sky. And there for the first time was that rainbow, and Noah looked upon it. Loved one, there's no one like our Father in heaven. Amen. I look and see all the things that he did. Jesus said again, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Fathers, do not grow weary in well-doing. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this day. We thank you for every father that's here. Lord, help them. I know how easy discouragement can set in. Finances, out of work, children are sick, washing machine breaks down, cars break down. Lord, you know the whole litany of it. Overwhelmed and tired at times. Lord, strengthen them now. Touch them in their hearts and in their minds. Let them look to you, the author, the finisher of their faith. Bless their work of their hands, O Father. Bless them. Bless their homes and bless their children. Bless their finances. Bless their bodies. O God, bless them in all that they do. Put a spring in their step. Let the joy of the Lord spring up and be their strength. And let their children rise up and love mothers and fathers and rise up and call them blessed. May there be supernatural peace, supernatural wisdom in the home, in their hearts, and in their minds. We thank you, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning, they don't know Jesus as Lord, Jesus as Savior, I beg them to come and come into the ark. It's the only place of safety, and his name is Jesus. You can come down to this altar right when we're finished with this service. And Lord, we love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says,